This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Jeff Bliss, is Pacific Watch. Right now, Jeff has all of his hats arranged, and the first one he chooses is Big Kahuna Bliss. We head to Tsunami Beach, Tonga, the island in the Pacific, near an underwater volcano, sent out tsunami waves in all directions, including Southern California. Jeff, you tell me you had a warning. What kind of warning? Good evening.
Good evening, John. That's right. We received warnings on our phones, as did most people in Southern California. I imagine Northern California and other places along the Pacific as well, saying there's been an incident in Tonga, a seismic incident or volcanic incident. You need to leave the beaches and you know, heed this warning. I think they also mentioned that the beaches would be closed and they'd close all the piers. So that's what happened. Heard the same story from other people that live in our area that we're in contact with. And it seemed to work well, although the tidal wave that came ashore, the series of tidal waves, were not very big. They were splashy and they gave some people some worries, but they were not a problem.
So Tsunami Beach, your beach, was safe and not damaged.
That's correct. I think the only damage I read about was very minor. It was in Northern California, in Santa Cruz area, and they received some very minor flooding, but of course, any kind of flooding is a problem. But there wasn't any damage, any worries about, you know, wholesale loss of life. Now, up in the Bay Area, some surfers decided they were going to go out and challenge whatever tsunami waves came in. They had to be rescued. So
that makes sense. Do you, as Big Kahuna Bliss, dream about riding a tsunami someday?
Not at all. There is a tidal bore. It's a tidal change. That's a bore, B-O-R-E, in Germany that looks fun. There are a lot of people that ride it, but there's no danger behind it. It's just a shift in tides. But a tidal wave, no thanks, because even if they're not tall, they carry so much energy and they often carry so much debris. It's just ridiculous to think that you'd be out there with that.
Yes, I saw the waves come in to Tonga, the video. And although they were not tall, they were not, you know, some half mile or 15 feet. They were a series. It was like steps sweeping in. And eventually everything was underwater. Now, I saw some young people splashing along as if it was a hurricane and you could walk in ankle deep or calf deep water. Nobody seemed particularly alarmed. But Jeff, you're right about the energy. I could see when the wave hit, it just bashed anything out of its way.
Yeah. Now, you know, when I think about the energy of the ocean, I mean, the one word I always think of is awesome, because people don't realize, you know, they see the same waves go in every day, day in and day out. They take it for granted. But when you're out there in the water, whether it's surfing, scuba diving, open water swimming, you name it, you really get a sense of how powerful the ocean is, even in its calmest points. It's a constant, sorry, it sounds like a pun, but that ebb and flow of energy in the water. Sometimes you don't see waves at all, but you feel the power of the ocean. So I can't imagine something that's generated by the explosion of a volcano traveling that far, something you could see from space. They certainly picked up on satellites. It's a lot of energy. It has to go somewhere. And it's going to keep going until it can go no more. And that go no more is not a person. That's a landmass that's going to stop it, not people. So, you know, the other thing is, when people do things like this and they go out in the water, then they have to be rescued or they have to be watched by emergency personnel like lifeguards and Coast Guard, things like that. They put all those people's lives at risk, too. That's why it's dumb.
We go from Tsunami Beach to Long Beach. Jeff, the mayor has declared the backup of the container ship solved. Does that mean we'll be able to find anything we want at the grocery store?
Well, good luck with that one, because if you haven't noticed, the store shelves are getting very bare again. And this is something that we're seeing across the country. And social media is really helping to point this problem out. Now, Robert Garcia, who's the mayor, he's a very good guy, very good mayor. And I think he's a great person. I've worked with him a few times. But he's also very partisan, and he is making the run for the Democratic seat there in Long Beach that's being given up by Representative Lowenthal. And they think he's probably the strongest candidate for it. So a lot of things he has to do is toe the party line and repeat whatever they're telling him to say out of Washington. And of course, Washington doesn't want to be blamed for the supply chain. So they say, there's no problem there. We don't have any issues. Look, just look, we don't have any ships out there like we used to. You know, we only have like 14 ships. Well, what they did, if, in case people don't know, is they pushed the ships about 100 miles off the coast and make them anchor there. So the optics are, you know, were really bad. Now there's no optics. So you have the news media saying, well, I don't see those ships out there. It must be okay.
So they're 100 miles at sea. You can see on a heat map the same story off of Ningbo and Tianjin, the two ports associated with the container ships coming from China. The slowdown continues. All right, we give up on Big Kahuna Bliss and we head to Engineer Bliss. The concern here is not just the bullet train, which is always a fascination, a bullet train to the state prison, but a train that's been ransacked in Los Angeles. Is that where, Jeff?
That's right. It's in the downtown area. And just so people know, it's not one train. It's just a constant series of trains that go through there. It's where the main distribution hubs are in Los Angeles. And so a lot of the stuff that comes off the container ships from China, from Japan, wherever, come through there. And the thieves, these are organized bands of thieves. This is a very sophisticated, complex operation, very tightly run organizations. And they know which trains have what goods on them, you know, types of goods, whether it's pharmaceuticals, electronics, you name it. They pick out certain trains. They get information ahead of time. They also know to look by, you know, by the types of crates or cartons they're in, what they're looking for. It's becoming a very sophisticated, very efficient operation. So what we've seen in the past few days reported in, you know, national news is, look at this stretch of a couple miles through downtown LA, these track beds, and they are just, it looks like a dump. It doesn't look like a railroad track center, because what happens is the thieves jump on the trains. Of course, they easily break open the doors, and then they take the goods out, excuse me, and they just leave the boxes there. So it looks, there's cardboard and trash for as far as the eye can see, and nobody seems to have a really good solution yet or plan to take care of it.
And the LAPD is not the answer, because you can't deploy that many police to guard a train that's just sitting there. It's not moving. Is that correct, when it's ransacked?
That's right. And, you know, oftentimes you'll get, you know, a number, scores of trains, not just trains, but, you know, then you'll have hundreds or thousands of boxcars waiting to be unloaded or redirected to another distribution point. So it's not like they just go through there and they hop on the trains like they did in the old West and rob everybody and hop on their horses and run away. These trains are sitting there sometimes for days or weeks waiting to be unloaded. And it's just, it's ripe for these thieves to come in and hit him.
All right, we go from Engineer Bliss now to the good story, the big story, Yodeler Bliss, the snowpack. It's been snowing and raining throughout California, especially in the north. What has it achieved?
What it has achieved is you've got a lot of people betting it's the end of the drought, that people were so worried that we were going to be in the worst drought in California's history. Right now, we're at over 160% of a snowpack at this time of the year. And that doesn't mean we have a drought that's, it's totally solved the drought yet. But, you know, these are the wet months that are coming up, you know, through the end of December, January, February, and March. So the feeling is we're going to get enough rain, but people are still hanging on to their hats saying, I don't want to bet the farm yet. It's too soon. The latest bit of great news is, the snow that they are sampling up in the Sierra Nevada mountains is a very wet snow. Some snows, interesting enough, are considered dry. They don't carry as much water. The water content in them isn't as great as the one that we're getting now. It's a very heavy snow, a lot of water. It's going to help the aquifers. It's going to help the vegetation. It's going to help the whole state.
And Jeff, the Yodeler Bliss about the snowpack. This is a solution to the drought. However, the drought is across the whole state. Are you seeing similar rainfall in the Los Angeles area?
I wouldn't say similar rainfall. We've had a great deal of rain, especially compared to the last couple of years, and they're hoping we're going to get a lot more. You know, it's, yeah, you know, California is a big state, and this isn't just a problem confined to California. This is a an issue that's dealing the whole Western United States. So I can't tell you what all the other states are dealing with, but if it's any indication what we're getting with rain down here in Southern California, snow up north, we're in a much better position once we hit the summer than we ever dreamed we would be.
In Australia, they call it La Nina, and we can presume it's the same weather system visiting California, visiting the Pacific West. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. He's also Snowpack Watch, and he's worn many hats here. We've been Big Kahuna Bliss, Engineer Bliss, and Yodeler Bliss. We're waiting for the springtime when we can get back to Tout Mass Bliss when he heads to Del Mar. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. This is Pack Watch. I'm John Batchelor. Thank you.